You are listening to a sermon from Mission Point St. John. We hope this message encourages a deeper connection between you and Jesus, our Savior.
Amen. We're glad to be home this morning. And we've had a full week, and we, this past week, were at General Conference, which is our conference for the United Pentecostal Church. It was happening in Long Beach, California, and so it's a ways from here, and it's a few time zones from here, and so I was waking up at 1:30, 2 o'clock each morning, ready to go, but I wasn't ready to go. Amen. But the 4 hours difference really does kind of mess you up a little bit. But we had a great conference and great services, and so many people. They had a large attendance that were there. In the last service, there was roughly 14,000. We'll get the exact figures, but it was a large service, a group of people, and it was just great to be with the people of God. Amen. That's about as many as that stadium would hold. So it was a great turnout. A lot of people, thousands and thousands of people watching online. The last service, I believe, they had 26,000 or so watching online. So a lot of people taking in the service. And then you can also go back and watch services. So we thank the Lord for the opportunity. And so we were very involved in meetings throughout the week, but then got to enjoy some church at night. And and then make our journey home yesterday and arrive this morning. And so we're in the house of the Lord, looking forward to being in God's house this morning, and just grateful that you are here. And it's good to see everyone this morning, and it's always good to land and get back across the border and get home and sleep in your own bed. What a concept. Amen. And so that was, and my only fear this morning was sleeping too long in my own bed. But God woke us up and we got here in time. And so thank you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. Isn't it just good to be in God's house? Amen. I thank our team for taking care of services and things while we're gone. We have such an incredible team here at Mission Point. And I was sitting across from a minister on the plane coming home last night, and I was sharing with him just how awesome this church is, and we connected and shared contacts, and he wanted to hear more about what God's doing in this church, and I just thank God for this church. I really do. We just crossed over. Amen. We just crossed over pastoring here 12 years in September, and it just seems like it just started. And we're excited about what God is doing and what God is going to do. I want you to pray for me this week, if you would. I have a group of 32 people that I'll be meeting with this week from a group that has been meeting in our city. I want you to pray for me as I meet with them this week, that God would open that door. God has been working in their lives, and I'm thankful for that. And we've made a connection, and we'll be meeting with 32 people in one group about the Lord this week. So if you would pray with, do I have some people that would just pray with me this week that God would give us the wisdom? Amen. God's doing some incredible things in our city, church. He really is. Amen. So I'm excited about that, and looking forward to what God's going to do in that situation. Amen. This morning I'd like to speak to you just for a few moments on the topic of likeness. Likeness. The attributes and characteristics that we possess are, a lot of times, we get some of those from our parents, our grandparents, people that have affected our lives, and sometimes how our children are because of how we've trained them up and how things have been in our home. You've heard statements like, you just look like your dad. You ever hear that, Sister Tompkins? Yeah. She looks just like her dad. Or you look just like your mom. Or you hear, you sound just like your father. You know, you hear people's voice on the phone and you sound just like your father. Your mannerisms are just like your dad or your mom, or that's something that your parents would do when they were young. Yeah, you get elders that will say that to you. You know what? I knew your dad or mom when they were growing up, and that's something that they would do. I had that happen. One of my grandfathers had passed away when I was 8, and I still remember him quite vividly, and some things that happened throughout his life and his connection to me, and my connection. I'm the oldest grandchild of his, so I had a good connection with him. But one day I was sitting on a chair, and my mom said to me, "That's how Dad sat. Had one leg underneath. I was sitting on one leg. Now I have a hard time doing that now. I can't get my knees to bend that far. But it was. You heard the statement. That's just like what your grandfather would do. Or that's how. Have you heard those types of statements before? Sometimes the comparisons may be actually negative, and you don't want to hear that. But most often when someone's saying that such a statement, it's in the context of it being in a positive perspective. And you sound just like your parents, or you sound just like your dad, or you look just like your mom. Most people would not say to you, you know, you're just as homely as your father. Or you've got big ears or a big nose like your dad. Most people don't come out and say those types of things, but they usually make statements of complimenting you. You know, when you sing just like your dad used to sing, or whatever the case is. Most times people aren't giving you the bad news. I have 3 amazing children who all have their unique personalities and characteristics. Miko is a mixture of both of me and my wife and our personalities. I would say Miranda would favor more of her dad, and Marissa would favor more of her mom. Now, yes, you can see each parent and each child, but we would make a statement that maybe one child is more like one parent. And we've always tried to figure out Miko. He's got my boldness, but he's got his mother's sense of humor. The stuff that comes out of him, I'm like, I could never have thought of that. Like, I have about this much humor. I can't think of those things. It doesn't. Do you guys get and understand memes? They show me stuff so they can laugh at me not understanding them. I read things and I'm like, that's kind of stupid. That don't make no sense. It's supposed to be funny. I don't have yet. You don't get to see the humorous side of my wife. Like, she's all sophisticated, and you know, you got to be around her when she's just by herself and with a couple of people. That's where Miko, it comes out. If he's got the boldness to say what she's thinking. You use the term so-and-so as like their father, or they just act like them. And you hear that in the natural. This morning I want to talk to you about likeness. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over all cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Verse 27 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. God created all things, and now was declaring to his angelic beings that he was going to make man in his image, after his likeness. This is the same image that would be made into flesh in John chapter 1, verse 14. Jesus was not born looking like man. Man was created to be in his image of what he was going to look like when he was born. When Jesus is brought into this world with flesh, he didn't come looking like us. We were created looking like him. He's the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. But notice what is stated in verse 26 that is not stated in verse 27. The Bible declares that God was going to create us in his image after his likeness. But notice what happens in verse 27 when he creates. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. What he states in verse 26 is not what happens in verse 27. I'm going to create man in my image after my likeness. But in verse 27, it just says that we were created in his image. There's a process that's going to happen, that's going to take place in another period of time. A time when the likeness would include more than just a similarity or just sounding like someone or having the resemblance of, but there was a likeness that was going to go way beyond what we can fully understand at this point of the journey. That word likeness, from the word demuth, the resemblance that we are concretely fashioned like, that we are modeled after. And when God said that he was going to make us in his image, after his likeness, something was happening in that verse that is still happening today and will happen until his return. It is evident that God intends to impress the mind of man with a sense of something extraordinary in the formation of his body and soul when he introduces mankind into the account of creation. Everything else, he said, and let there be. Well, when it comes to you and I, it wasn't something that he just said, let there be. He said, I am going to create you in my image after my likeness. Something supernatural was happening where we were going to imitate him in such a higher nature, being associated with him beyond anything else that was created in creation. There was something eternal that he wanted to have created in you. Man was a new species, an essentially different from everything else that was on the earth. It was in his image after his likeness. We were to be allied with him beyond this earth. Sometimes I wonder if we don't preach about it enough. This world is not my home. Okay, I just came from 14,000 people screaming and hollering, jumping and running everywhere. I didn't expect to come home to the morgue. Maybe we don't preach about it enough. That where you are, it's not where you're going to remain. But one of these days, something, amen, is going to happen extraordinary, transformational, amen, that's way beyond this earth. Amen, there's already people that's gone on to be with him that you're going to get to see, hallelujah, and spend time with for eternity. But I'm going to be with Jesus because I've been created in his image after his likeness. Amen. Don't stop preaching about heaven. If you stop preaching about heaven, You'll get depressed living here on earth. Because your few short years, which is just a vapor, it's just a drop in the bucket compared to eternity, amen, is not just about here. Amen. He's preparing you to be with Him, that where He is, you can be also. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. You don't have to worry about this world. Amen. He's preparing you a home. There's something eternal that's happening in your life. This is not just about feeling good for a few decades and hoping you make it through life and enjoy it. Folks, this is just the beginning. This is far, far from the ending. When He made a statement that He was going to create you in His image, after His likeness, there was going to be a process that's more than just how you look this morning. In His image, you look like it. You look exactly like how He was when He came. You are the greatest of His creation. You are the most delicate of His creation. There's a depth of His creation in you. There's 60,000 miles of blood vessels in you. We go around the world multiple times, just the blood vessels within your body. How He has created you is beyond our imagination. It's beyond how we can even comprehend this morning. But that is not what you and I get to be excited about today. I'm excited about hearing of 60,000 miles of blood vessels and arterioles, or whatever those are. They're connected to every cell. Man, I heard this being preached at conference, that part, and I was like, what? 60,000 miles in every body? I mean, that's incredible. And you think about how amazing that is, and you stop and think, wow, God, You made me like that. That's exciting, but that's not the most exciting part about how He created you. Every one of your cells is connected to one of those vessels. I mean, it's mind-boggling. But that's not the most exciting part of how He created you. There was a likeness that He created in you. There was something that He started as a process, amen, that wasn't going to be temporal. It wasn't going to be just blood vessels, amen. At some point, if you pass before God comes, that will decay, amen, and transform back to dust. That's not the exciting part of the image. It's the likeness that He's creating in you, that where He is, you can be also. Huh, that's a process. What is said above, the likeness refers not only to the body of man, but it refers to the soul of man. This was made in the, we were made in the image and likeness of God. The divine being is infinite. It's not limited by parts. It's not definable by just what you can see. The image and likeness is more than intellectual. There's something that's going to live forever inside of you. And that is your soul. And it's been formed after His nature and the perfection of God Almighty that created you. The human mind is endowed with extraordinary capacities, and what we can remember and learn, and what, I mean, it's incredible. When you stop and think about the capacity of your human brain, it's beyond imagination. I mean, it just makes you sit there in awe of how incredible, how He created you. And if you stop and think about that and get caught up in that, you could be amazed But folks, that's just the beginning of your amazement. That's just the beginning of how powerful God is in your life. And you think about the mind and how incredible that is and what people have made and created. And do you know that in the early 1900s, there was a goal to get rid of patents? Because they had said in the early 1900s, there's no need for that anymore because everything has been created that will be created. Nothing new will be created, so we might as well just get rid of patents. Can you imagine what has been created since the 1900s? I mean, it's just beyond our imagination. The human mind, the brain is, I can't even comprehend. And you watch little kids and you watch people that can accomplish such great feats in their life, and it's just mind-boggling. We've got Sister Stewart, 93 years old, still has a great mind. It's amazing. She writes me letters. One of the last letters she wrote to me was 17 pages. I keep every one of them. Amazing mind. It's beyond our comprehension. She shared with me her conversion story. That's what it was about. It was so awesome. When you stop and think about how powerful the mind, but that's not the most exciting thing about how he created you. As great as that is, from a young baby who can quickly learn who mom is. Oh, they can figure it out. I was watching not too long ago, little Nolan, and he saw the bottle coming, and he just started vibrating. How quickly they learn what's in that thing. It's amazing to stop and think about how powerful creation is. But let me tell you, that's just the beginning of how incredible you are this morning. You were created after the image of God. Paul tells us that. It consisted in righteousness, true holiness, and knowledge. He writes to the church at Ephesus and he says that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Writes to the church at Colossae, and have put on a new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Yes, the mind, the body, all of that stuff is incredible. But there's a deeper part of his creation of you and I. And that you and I were created after his likeness. Trying to explain what it means to be created after his likeness is beyond our human comprehension. The image, you can get it by seeing people, their characteristics, their attributes, their talents, their abilities, their mind, all of that. You get to see that image part. But it's hard for us to take in the next level, which is after his likeness. And when God created man in verse 27, he leaves out the word likeness because there's a process that's going to happen in people's lives. And John writes about it in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear. There's an understanding coming. that's greater than just how you appear today. John gets an insight, and he says, but we know that when he shall appear, what's he talking about? He's talking about Jesus Christ coming back for his people. Jesus coming back for those who love him. The return of Jesus Christ, amen, in the rapture of the church, the second coming of Jesus Christ. He didn't just come once, church. He's coming back for those who were created in his image, but not only created in his image, but after his likeness. There's a resemblance that's beyond you sounding like, you looking like, you doing things just the same. There's a resemblance that's far beyond that. It's that you have been a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. He said in the verse, put it back up if you would, that 1 John chapter 3, and verse 2, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Oh, you'll never become God. I'll never be God. But what John is trying to tell us is that there is something that he created you in that was not put in verse 27. But he's getting ready for the people of God that he's coming after. And if you think the coming of the Lord is not soon, you better open up your eyes. Amen. Because we shall be changed and be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Can I tell you? Music come. John was on the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus is being transfigured before them. And he gets to see a likeness of the glory of God. He couldn't see a full description or understanding because he wouldn't have been able to handle that. But he sees him being transfigured on the mountain. He gets a glimpse of what you and I are going to be like. And he writes it down in the book of John, the 3rd chapter. And he said, there's coming a day when he is going to appear. And something transformational is going to happen in your life and my life. Folks, it's way, way past our comprehension. It's a way past what we can understand. But you are going to be changed and be like him. Hallelujah, that the way you see him is how you're going to be. No sin, no death. Amen. No sickness, no isolation, no separation. Amen. There isn't going to be a need for a light in heaven because he is the light. Everything is going to be way beyond how we can think this morning and comprehend because it's not just his image that you're created in. You're created in his light. What does that entail, Pastor? John's writing about it. Our vile bodies are going to be made like unto his glorious body. In all glory and majesty that goes beyond our human nature. It's hard for us to comprehend that there will be no more death. You're not going to need glasses. Hearing aids are obsolete. Everything that you deal with sickness There's no medication in heaven. No medication in heaven. You won't even need to take a vitamin there. No. No energy drinks. None of those. I've never had one of those. I don't dare take one of those. What's so the monster things they call them or whatever? What do they call them? Monster drinks or something? Yeah. No 2 for 6 in heaven. None of those needed. Not going to need those. Not going to get tired. There's no depression there. There's no anxiety there. There will be no canes and no wheelchairs. There will be no walkers there, Sister Carol. No walkers there. Not going to be necessary. Because not only are you going to be created in His image, you're also going to be in His likeness. Put it up, 1 Corinthians 15. Let's end it with this. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. He says, not everyone is going to have to die a natural death. It's very possible that there are people sitting in this room right now that will be alive for the coming of the Lord. You say, Pastor, has been praised. Yeah, I'm telling you. All you have to do is look around you. See what's happening. It's very possible that people who are alive in this room right now will be alive for the coming of the Lord. Not everyone's going to have to die. That's what he's saying. That's not the greatest part of what he's saying. What he's saying that's the greatest part is we shall all be changed. Verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. That means there's no more decay. No more taking your teeth out at night. No, not going to happen there. This mortal must put on immortality. I'll keep going. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Death is swallowed up in victory. 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Do you know what Paul's writing? It's almost in a sarcastic way. We're going to show you, devil. We're going to show you, world. We're going to show you, life. That what's been happening to people for thousands of years is no longer going to happen. Death is going to be taken care of. It's going to be swallowed right up in victory. Amen. It's going to be greater than you just being created in His image. You are going to be after His likeness. We shall be changed. One more verse. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. That's not just here. That's not you just overcoming this life. That's you becoming like Him. We need to preach about heaven more than we preach about it. I'm for people getting through life, and I'm for all the things that we can preach about to help people conquer the things of your day-to-day activities. But your day-to-day activities will not compare to the likeness that He's got for you. It will not compare to what He's got in store for you. Amen. Because in a twinkling of an eye, changed. Perfect eyesight. No more ingrown toenails. It's going to be like Him. I wish someone would stand on your feet this morning and anticipate, amen, what it's going to be. I'm excited about the image of God. I'm thankful for what He's done in my life on this earth. I'm thankful for that. But I'm getting ready, amen, for where I'm going. Amen, I'm going to be with Him. That where He is, I may be also, and I, amen, will be after His likeness. Everybody in this room has the same opportunity this morning. Nobody excluded. Everybody's got the same opportunity to be like Him. Would you just fill this altar this morning with an anticipation, amen, of being like Him? Would you thank Him for being created in His image? But also, amen, be thankful for the process that you're in. Hallelujah, that He's working in your life this morning. In 2024, He's in preparation mode for you to be like Him. That where He is, you can be also. Amen. And in one simple moment of time, amen, when He calls His church home, amen, instantaneously, amen, the glorious body is going to happen to you, and you're going to be like Him.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information, connect with us on our website at missionpoint.ca. God bless you.